Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Glad you've joined us. My name's Todd Stiles. I'm one of the pastors here at First Family. And thanks for tuning in today on Tuesday, April the 23rd. Really glad you're listening. As you know, the Extra Point Podcast is all about bringing some extra insight, additional observation, further application to the text from which we preached the previous Sunday. And we were wrapping up Colossians chapter 1, the first 14 verses last Sunday. We did focus on verses 9 to 14, which I think is the second half of a masterclass on prayer. So if you're curious about those, even the two parts together, I'd encourage you to go to our website, check out either the video or audio there of our messages. I want to focus in on one phrase that has always intrigued me. It's in verse 10, and it really is the reason Paul prays for the Colossian believers continually that they'll know Christ or that they'll know God's will in an increasing fashion. And the reason in verse 10 is so that they would walk worthy of the Lord. That phrase has always intrigued me because it's used not only in Colossians, it's also used in Ephesians. It seems to be kind of a go-to phrase for Paul to some degree. And what the phrase means is that there is a congruence in someone's life between their walk and their talk. You could use the word balance. You could use the word consistency. The word has the clear understanding and meaning. It connotes the sense that what is said is what is done. There's not an imbalance. There's not something out of proportion, but something matches. And he's saying that our walk equals what we're called. We're the Lord's, and so our life indicates that. So I think you get the picture of the words walk worthy. We've discussed this several times at First Family over the years, whether we're going through Ephesians or Colossians, or even just looking at that phrase and talking about a life of consistency. It's this wonderful phrase, very intriguing phrase, where Paul is calling for zero hypocrisy. And so I want to just talk to you a bit about this word, hypocrisy, which is really the opposite of the word for walk worthy. Walking worthy of the Lord means that we have a consistency, a balance, a congruence. That's the opposite of hypocrisy when there's something's out of balance. Something doesn't match our name, and yet our actions aren't equating. There's not an equality. And I want to talk just for a moment about this word, really about the idea, the concept of hypocrisy. You see it often in the Bible, and what I find when I look at it in the thread of Scripture, such as Joshua chapter 7, Achan and Ai, you could go to Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, and there's other ones in both the Old and New. I think of those two particularly. What you find is at least these two threads, and I want them to weigh in on you and weigh in on me in this episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Here's hypocrisy, the opposite of walking worthy, and two threads about it that should awaken us, that should starkly remind us this is not something to take lightly. Hypocrisy is, first of all, subtle. As you look at both Joshua 7 and Acts 5, what you find is that the people who were lured into hypocritical living, they were lured into a situation where their walk and their talk didn't match. They were always finding a way to excuse themselves for their next set of actions. You know, Achan hid things in his tent. He took things from Jericho. And his reasoning was that, you know, he found it. Perhaps the rule that was given or the commandment not to take any of the bounty or the loot didn't apply to him. You know, maybe he needed it. And so there's this whole self-reasoning that's actually false. It's not true, but it's so hard to spot in the moment. The same thing's true with Ananias and Sapphira. As they looked around at the landscape of the church and all those folks who were giving sacrificially, they knew they had the means to give, but they weren't content to simply give. They wanted to give and get credit. And so somewhere in their reasoning, they're thinking, well, if we're going to give, we might as well look good while we're doing it. And I think it's very interesting that as you look at hypocrisy throughout the thread of Scripture, it's always a very subtle attack. It's a very insidious type of initial encounter. There seems to be a rationale or a reasoning that in the moment to the person who's tempted with hypocrisy seems to make sense. But that's the first red flag, that when we think something makes sense, which we normally wouldn't, we should realize I'm being tempted towards hypocrisy. Now, let's be honest and admit to ourselves, sin in and of itself is subtle. It's always the same way. It's insidious. It's deceiving. And so we're not saying that hypocrisy is different in that way. I'm simply affirming that specifically the sin of hypocrisy is like most sins. It's very subtle. It's going to come to you with clothes and with the appearance that you have some justification for this next action, which isn't really consistent with what you normally do. It's going to come to you with a rationale that says, hey, here's why this could be an exception, or here's why this can be different and not worry about it. And in those moments, remember what we've been saying lately, that exceptions are a terrible strategy. And this goes especially true with hypocrisy. When you suddenly feel like there's one moment that could be different and here's why, and I think it's okay, I would just double check, triple check that moment. It very well could be hypocrisy luring you and tempting you, baiting you. And so if you do give in to its subtle wooing, if you are taken in by its deception and you don't deal with it, here's what is also true. Here's the second thread. Hypocrisy is costly. Now, I think the end cost of hypocrisy is death. And I would prove this from both those passages again, both in Joshua 7, Acts 5, Achan, as well as Ananias and Sapphira, both experienced death. Now, is there a cost to hypocrisy prior to death? I'm sure there is. Hopefully, we catch it in its early stages, and the cost isn't that it takes our life. So when I say that hypocrisy is costly, I want you to see this in the sense that there is a spectrum, but the end result of a hypocrisy undealt with is that it's costly to the point of death. It will eat your life up. It will take your life. It will kill spiritual vitality. And so this is true collectively. It's also true individually. Hypocrisy undealt with in a group, in a family, in a church, known hypocrisy undealt with is dangerously deadly. This is why I believe Paul exhorts us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to exercise church discipline when we know there is long-term, blatant, willful sin over a period of time, an unwillingness to repent and to get in line with, expected moral conduct, then the church must take steps to excommunicate, to discipline. It's not meant to be punitive. It's meant to be restorative, but it can in the moment feel somewhat punitive. And so this is an issue we're not going to deal with on this podcast. Just be aware, hypocrisy has collective deadly effects, and it also has individual deadly effects. And this is why John would say we're to confess our sins. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. James would talk to us about confessing our faults to one another so that you may be healed. And so just be aware, there are collective results that are deadly. There are individual results that are deadly. The point is, whenever hypocrisy is discussed in Scripture, you find these two strains of thought, that it's subtle and that it's costly. And so I want to ask you on this episode of the podcast, are there unaddressed gaps in your life between identity and action, between what you're called and how you live? Now, listen very carefully. I'm not asking if there are gaps. I've got gaps. You've got gaps. We are in progressive sanctification all the time. So there's not a single person without gaps. What I'm asking is, are there unaddressed gaps? Are there times in your life when you find yourself calling for action, perhaps from your small group, maybe your family, your children, your spouse, and yet you intentionally avoid that very action yourself? That's an unaddressed gap. Here's an example. Perhaps you encourage your small group to give, and you want them to be generous and sacrificial. As you know, First Family is a very mission-focused, missionally-minded church. We give a good portion both to foreign missions, local ministries. We participate in the cooperative program, and we make no bones about sending our own, and we give to them. So if you're calling for your small group to really commit to that, be involved in that, participate in that, and yet you yourself don't give, that's an unaddressed gap. Maybe that's true in your viewing habits. I've mentioned before on this podcast, as well as in messages, the incredible amount of pornography. Some use the word soft porn. I'm probably not a real fan of trying to delineate pornography. But, you know, the amount of pornography available through streaming channels that are easily accessible now through free trials or other formats, it is just invading our homes. And so if you're saying one thing about it over here, but yet you're watching a good bit over there, that's an unaddressed gap. And so you could pick your issue. I'm asking, are there unaddressed gaps in your life? If there are, here's what I would suggest. Here's what I strongly, pastorally exhort you towards. Identify and then eliminate. All right? Now, I don't want to take the approach that we eliminate our call to action because we want to enjoy our sin. I don't want to go there. What I'm saying is let's identify the gap. Let's take the giving one, for example. And if you've been calling for your small group to give, even of their time in serving others or serving in the church, you know, that's one of our core strategic habits. We celebrate, grow, and we serve. If you're calling for folks to serve, but you don't serve, if you're calling for folks to give, but you don't give, identify the gap and then eliminate the gap by beginning to give or beginning to serve. If it's involving your viewing habits, cancel the channels, cancel the subscriptions. Identify the gap and eliminate the gap. And what I mean by that is probably what you'll do is you'll decrease the distance between what you say and how you live. And that's always a good thing. Ideally, we want to kind of get that distance as short as possible. We want to make that a very small gap. What we're doing when we do that, regardless of the area, the issue, or the topic, is we are dealing with hypocrisy. And I think that's always a beautiful thing. It's always a worthwhile effort to deal with the gaps in our life. So remember, when you spot gaps, don't be overwhelmed. We all have them. The question is it an unaddressed gap? And when you find that, no, that's an area where you're not walking worthy, where I'm not walking worthy if I find those in my life. And so that's the gap you want to now address so that there isn't hypocrisy in your life. There isn't inconsistency. Instead, there's what Paul talks about. There's a walking worthy of the Lord. And in addressing gaps, in trying to make those as small as possible, in dealing with these areas where things don't match, here's what we're doing. We're seeing this prayer answered in our life. Let's go back to the text. Remember the prayer? That we would know God's will. Or I believe the text is saying, knowing Christ in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, we would know Him increasingly and more deeply. As that occurs, then we'll walk worthy of the Lord. We'll walk in a balanced, matching fashion. So when you address gaps and decrease the distance, you are seeing this prayer answered in your life. And I think we'd all agree, that's a beautiful moment. That's a fantastic place to live spiritually. Not in some place where we have no gaps, but we're willing to walk with the Lord, addressing the gaps and seeing their distance decreased so that we are walking worthy, fully pleasing.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.